Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, yes. Yes and yes. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We have a loaded show for you today. Got David James over there making this thing sound beautiful in your ear. Man, we're going to keep the draft series going. We have Brock Martin, Oklahoma State, defensive end slash linebacker. We have a sleeper. His name is drawing a lot of attention now, and that's Xavier Smith out of FAMU. We'll get him going. Obviously, we got Run TMC with Chris Sanders as well. But let's kick this off with Isaiah Moore, NC State linebacker.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Operating with a pure version. I write prescriptions.
All right, back from the break talking with TD. You hear the hard music, so you know we're going to bring in a hard-hitting player. We gave a lot of love to the offense, so let's flip it to the defensive side. And we're going to bring in NC State linebacker Isaiah Moore. Isaiah, what's good, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? Glad to be here, bro.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm glad to have you here. And I just want to, first things first, just, you know, give you a shout out, man. I like the passion and aggressiveness that you play with. It's really cool, like, watching the way that you have a manner of getting to that football really quickly. So tell me this. Is that something like film study? You have a natural instinct? Like, how do you develop that feel for the game that you have? Because it really shows on how you flow to the football.
Yeah, man, I definitely appreciate those kind of words, man. You know, I think a lot of it is film study. You know, I pride myself, you know, being a middle linebacker, of watching as much film as I can, you know, trying to understand offensive schemes, going off of any type of, you know, tells and keys that I can find to give me that edge. And then also, it's just that desire to be around the ball, man. I had a linebacker coach tell me a long time ago that your value to the defense is how far you are from the ball at the end of every play. So I try to be right next to the ball and show how my value is to a team by always getting to the ball.
Yeah, and it's cool because, you know, the ability to diagnose and trigger. And we talk about this with receivers a lot. You know, the guys, the 4-3 guys, it's like, okay, you have that 4-3 speed, but if you don't know what you have to do, you can't really use it. Looking at you, that's something you wanted to prove, right? The 4.49 you ran at Pro Day. But how are you able to, like, how much does that knowing where you have to go and being able to read things quickly, how much does that allow you to play with speed?
Yeah, you know, you play fast as a player when you know what you're doing and you're comfortable doing it. You know, so I think there was a big question about my speed and, you know, running that 4.46 that 4.6 at Pro Day was definitely big for me. Something I definitely wanted to show. You know, I'm more than just an in-the-box guy. I can play outside the box. I can play sideline to sideline. So I'm definitely blessed. And so I've had the opportunity to be able to, you know, showcase that, you know, for NFL teams.
And we're talking to NC State linebacker, middle linebacker, inside backer, however you want to call it, Isaiah Moore. Isaiah, you mentioned the sideline-to-sideline ability. And one of the things a lot of times that comes up with a player like yourself is they say he's a run-and-hit linebacker. What does that mean to you?
For me, it's running and hitting anybody in the opposite color, man. You know, that's kind of what I pride my game on. I enjoy contact. I enjoy hitting guys that are bigger than me. I enjoy hitting guys with the football. That's something I've always loved ever since I first started, you know, playing football, you know, doing Oklahoma drills, you know, something I always love to do. So running and hitting, that's the name of the game at linebacker now, especially in a widespread game now, you know. Passing offenses and spread offenses are getting more and more common in the NFL, and that's something you got to be able to do as a linebacker, run and hit.
Yeah, play in space. And you look at aggressive backers like yourself that diagnose so well. How do you balance that as far as offenses trying to take advantage, like turn your strength into a weakness with misdirection?
Yeah, you know, I think you have to – the biggest key for a linebacker is, you know, your hands, your eyes, and your feet. And that discipline comes with the eyes, man. You have to make sure you burn your eyes and your key, understanding what you're looking at. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, you have really aggressive guys that love getting downhill, but they don't always go to the right place. I tried to pride myself in always being in the right place at the right time and be ready for the play to be made.
83 tackles, 40 of which were solo, 15 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks this past season, 6'2", 232 pounds. Like, all of that stuff checks out. But the thing that I thought was most interesting is you're a 3-year captain. And, you know, as a redshirt freshman, you wore the green dot helmet. How much pride do you take in those things? And in addition to that, we'll expand it even further to being able to wear that number one.
Yeah, you know, take a tremendous amount of pride, you know, and having that green dot, you know, especially being a redshirt freshman, calling the plays, calling the check to the line of scrimmage, any type of fresh we're doing, I was calling it and checking it. Something I definitely, you know, take great pride in, and I accept the responsibility, you know, greatly. Something I don't take for granted at all, having that trust, you know, from my coaches and my teammates from that young and then having it carry on, you know, over the past 5 seasons. It's just amazing, man. I'm telling you, something I've always wanted to do growing up, and I've just had the opportunity to do that at NC State was great, and now hopefully I have the opportunity to do that in the league would be even better.
Yeah, we're talking to Isaiah Moore, NC State linebacker. And that number one, you wore that for 3 years. A lot of people don't understand or aren't aware of the significance of that. Why is that so critical? Why is that so important?
Yeah, so Coach Dorn, he gives that number out. You know, it's only one person on the team who he thinks is the best, best reflects the team's culture, both on and off the field. We have this mantra, we go by one pack, one goal. So that number one obviously is very important in that aspect. I award over the past 3 seasons. Another thing that I just don't take for granted, man, you know, I was a guy, when things were going wrong, everyone would look to when Coach needed something done amongst the team. He would come to me, and it's a great responsibility, and it's something I definitely had to live up to.
Yeah, and it just seems like, you know, there's certain positions in offense and defense. So you look at defense, right? You always look at that middle backer like he's the guy that leads the defense. He's the quarterback of the defense. Is that something that you would agree with?
Absolutely. You know, I coach Ruffin McNeil, who was at ECU for a while, and then was the DC at Oklahoma for a while. And he was our assistant, you know, head coach under Dorn over the past few years. When he first came in, he told me the Mike got to be the Mike. Mike Linebacker, he got to be the guy. He got to be the guy everyone looks to. And I tell him that stuck with me, you know, throughout my time in the state and carrying me into the league as well. The Mike Backer, you know, being in the center of the defense, you're able to see everything, and everything kind of flows through you. So you got to be the guy in the middle.
And being that guy that everybody looks to obviously is a testament to your character. I want to ask you because, you know, adversity builds character. 2021 – you're like, hey, man, I'm coming out. I'm going to the league. Then you suffer the injury. How much did that kind of teach you about yourself and, like, what you love about football?
Yeah, it humbled me greatly, man. You know, I was I felt like it was my time to come out. I was having a great season up until that point. I felt like I was playing the best football of my career, you know, up until that point. And, you know, suffered a torn ACL. And ended my season prematurely. And I definitely had some time to think, you know, about, you know, how much I love football, how much I love the game. And that really fueled my fire to come back for another season and prove to people that, you know, I'm the same player after the injury that I was before the injury, you know. So definitely humbled me greatly. But I understand why I went through that process and that I'm now better for it.
Yeah, that's remarkable that you're able to take that positive outlook, you know, from something that could be, I mean, that could be devastating without a doubt. I want to get into your organization also. And it's admirable that, you know, as a guy in college, a student athlete, because a lot of people don't understand the demands of being a student athlete. A lot of people don't understand, you know, that dawn patrol first thing in the morning, doing the training and then breakfast and just the day is just, it's crazy. So to have all that responsibility on your hands and then still develop Pack United, what
inspired you to do that? And tell my listeners a little bit about PAC United, your organization.
Yeah, so, you know, 2020 was a crazy year in our country for a lot of reasons, right? You know, you had COVID going on, you had the social injustices happening in the country going on. So following the death of George Floyd, NC State was trying to find out how to voice support and how to kind of, you know, be on the right side of, you know, of everything that was going on. And myself and a couple other of my fellow athletes here at NC State, we created PAC United, which started out as just a social media initiative, just a hashtag. People would post it and post different pictures. We had different different things and different instructions to do on social media to show support. Now we had GoFundMes and things of that nature to help raise awareness about what was going on in our country. And we took that from 2020 to 2021, becoming a fully operating nonprofit, you know, student organization, still addressing social injustices. And we partnered with a variety of other nonprofits. We ended up doing a voter drive. And in the fall of 2020, we got 100% of our student athletes registered to vote, and had and 97% of our student athletes actually did go vote, which was amazing to see. You know, we partnered with, you know, the NCAA, had the election, had the election day that year, and we got it completely off for all student athletes for them to be able to go vote, which was big. And then now, like I said, we're a fully operating nonprofit, and we address things such as social injustices, housing insecurity, food insecurity, educational equity. It's a variety of other topics. So we partner with other nonprofits and try to continue to raise awareness and just be a positive impact in our community.
More than just an athlete. I respect that. And you took advantage of your platform. You'll have a bigger platform going forward, right, once you get to the league. So let's look into that next step that you're looking to take. And obviously the first part of it was training. You were there in Exos, and then you get to the Shrine, East-West Shrine game. How was that week, and what was some of the feedback that you got from the coaches?
You know, it was an awesome week, man. You know, I was so blessed, you know, to have the opportunity to play in Vegas at the Shrine Bowl. You know, it was coached by two full-time NFL staffs, and I was with the Patriots staff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing, man. Coach Brian Belichick was my linebacker coach there. And he just poured so much into us, not just myself, but the group as a whole. Gave us a lot of responsibility. I wore the green dot out there for them as well, calling the defense and running things. I was actually voted, you know, team captain for the game that week, which was a huge honor. So it was awesome, man. I got a lot of great feedback from scouts. I think the biggest thing I want to show out there again is that, you know, I can play outside the box. You know, I can cover running backs. I can cover tight ends. I can play in space. And I think I did a great job of showing that. And all the feedback I've heard, I'll agree with that as well. So it was an awesome time out there.
Yeah, we're talking to Isaiah Moore, NC State linebacker. And that's the key part of it, right? Showing that you could be a three-down player. And in some cases, four-down, right? If you're on punt covers or return cover, excuse me. The other thing I wanted to get into, the combine, how was that experience? Because, you know, you're out there and they try to put you like in the worst type of situation and see how you could function.
Yeah. It was definitely an awesome experience, man. You know, it's something that I've watched on TV ever since I can remember. And to actually be there and be a part of that process was very, very surreal. I didn't get a chance to participate in any on-field drills because I suffered a groin injury lead up to that week. But I did bench there, did great on the bench. And just talking with different teams and being around, you know, NFL personnel, it was just awesome, man. I got to sit down with a lot of linebacker coaches, a lot of DCs, watch film, break down some tape, study some scheme. So it was awesome, man. I had a great time.
Yeah, and you say you did well on the bench. I'm not going to let you skate without – you know, shouting out the number, 26 reps. That's definitely good stuff there. As far as looking at, because one of the things I always like to do when I talk to you guys is allow the listeners to get a snapshot of like what type of play that you bring. So the easiest way to do that is to say, okay, point to a guy in the league who you say, you know what, my game is similar to that. I'm not talking about greatness. You know what I mean? I'm just talking about the style of play that you bring.
I think for me the easiest guy that comes to mind for me is Jermaine Pratt of the Bengals. So Pratt went to NC State. His senior year was my redshirt freshman year, so I played beside him for a year, and I just learned so much about the game of football from him. He's one of the smartest guys on the field that I've ever been around. The way he been able to diagnose plays, diagnose offenses, understand, and he just makes plays, man. And I'm a guy that I feel like I bring that same thing to the table.
I love that. And before we get you out of here, Isaiah, in your own words, describe yourself as a player. What an NFL team will get when they select you?
So I think the biggest thing you get from me is aggressiveness and a guy that's going to be absolutely relentless to make an impact in any way possible, both on the field and off the field. I think everywhere that I've tried to, every organization I've stepped into, you know, whether that's in high school or in college, I've tried to lead the organization better than I found it. So you're going any NFL team that that chooses me, you're going to get a guy that's going to do the absolute best to make sure he makes an impact both on and off the field, and going to make your locker room better.
That's what's up, Isaiah. I appreciate you. I know you had pro day recently, and now you just kind of it's a waiting game for you. But keep the patience, and we know good things are coming in the future.
Appreciate you, man.
For sure.
This is Bud Dupree, and I'm talking to TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Man, we keep flowing on the offensive side of things. I know I'm biased because, that's where I played offense at receiver. But, you know, let's take it to the defensive side because, you know, these guys need attention too. We're going to go to Oklahoma State, bring in defensive end, linebacker Brock Martin. Brock, what's good, man?
What's up, TD?
Hey, I appreciate you coming on. I want to start from the top, just in regards to you as an Oklahoma guy. How did you end up at Oklahoma State? Was that always the goal for you to play there at your state school?
I grew up in a small town in Oklahoma, about 1,200 people. And, you know, originally I really wanted to wrestle in college. I wanted to go to Oklahoma State to wrestle and had a really good wrestling career. But, you know, wrestling doesn't really pay for a whole lot of money to go to school. So, you know, when football came along, I started getting scholarships for football. And I was like, man, this is a full ride. And like, so I started kind of focusing on football. And then, you know, recruiting picked up, Big 12. Schools started coming after me, and Oklahoma State was in the mix, and it just felt right.
Yeah, no doubt. That makes sense. I definitely, when you talk about wrestling and transferring that to football, especially at your position, how much does that correlate?
The correlation is uncanny. I mean, wrestling, you leverage strength, balance, mentality. I mean, on the D-line, you know, outside linebacker position, it's all about your leverage, your strength, your power, your balance, you know. So, I mean, it's wrestling that I don't know. If I didn't wrestle, I doubt that I would be here where I'm at today.
That's really interesting. So would you suggest to younger athletes, especially if they're playing defense, would you suggest them to cross-train as far as take part in wrestling as well?
I'd say if you're playing, even if you're playing quarterback, go ahead and get into wrestling. Man, it'll teach you lessons about life that no other sport in this world can teach you.
That's really interesting. I've never heard somebody say that about wrestling as far as the life lessons. So that's interesting you mentioned that. Brock, when you look at just overall, you know, what you've been able to do, your body of work there at Oklahoma State, you spent some time there. And you've had some good years. I mean, you look at 2021, you had 9 sacks. For you, what would you say is your legacy, like what you left behind there at Oklahoma State?
My legacy at Oklahoma State is just the tough guy, man. Everybody at Oklahoma State knows I've dealt with, I mean, everybody scout-wise, GMs know that I've dealt with a handful of injuries in my career. Some were just really unfortunate. Some were just wear and tear from the sport, you know. So some of them were just freak deals that, you know, I I don't know. I didn't even know they existed until they happened to me. I only missed two games my entire career. I played through a lot. You know, I dislocated my elbow, my ankle, dislocated the shoulder. And the only game I ever missed from dislocated anything was against Baylor in 2021, the first time we played them. And that was it. It was the only game I missed after a dislocated elbow. And then, being a tough guy, I last year I tore my plantar fascia in my foot, and I don't know if you've ever dealt with that before or anyone listening has ever heard or dealt with it, but it's didn't require surgery or anything, but it was one of the more agonizing injuries I've ever had to deal with. It was a lot of ups and downs. I ended up tearing it against Baylor. So first game of league play, I messed my foot up, and then it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And eventually I wasn't even practicing during the season. I wouldn't practice on Tuesday, wouldn't practice on Wednesday. I would do the run through practice on Thursday. And I was maybe at a walking speed. And then by Saturday, it felt good enough to go. Mm. And then, about through the first quarter, it was done for. But I just finished the game and then wake up Sunday, barely able to walk, go to treatment, and then start the cycle over again. Wouldn't practice throughout the week and then run through practice and then play again on Saturday.
That's crazy. And we're talking to Brock Martin, Oklahoma State defensive end / linebacker. Brock, that's the tendon at the bottom of your foot, right? That's
it's supports your arch.
Yeah, forget that, man. God bless you for playing through that. that's crazy. But you still managed to have a signature year in 2021. As far as games are concerned, you want somebody to know what it is you bring to the table. What would you say the best game for you was?
Best game ever for me.
The Notre Dame one?
I'm going to have to say it could be Notre Dame, but I'm going to have to go with West Virginia in 2021.
Okay.
I think two TFLs and two sacks.
Nice, nice. And as far as you as a player, describe yourself as a player. What does a team get when they select you?
They just get consistency. I consistently played well. I hardly ever had bad games towards the end of my career. I would say I never really had a bad game outside of injury. It's just I show up to work every day, put my hard hat on, and just go to work. I do what I'm told. There's no arguing for me. I come in. I love what I do, and for me, it's not about the money. I thoroughly enjoy the sport, and I'm blessed to be able to do it, especially at this high of a level. And if a team picks me, they're not going to hear about any off the field anything, not going to have any scandals, nothing like that. And they're going to get a great player that it just shows up and it consistently works and has good games back to back to back.
How much did having your son, how much did that kind of change your perspective on life and give you extra motivation?
I wouldn't even say. It motivated me. Don't get me wrong, but I'm very critical of myself, and sometimes I'm overcritical of myself, and it kind of hindered me early on in my career. Just putting too much pressure on myself, and it just wore me down, throughout the weeks getting ready for games, and then when I had my son, it just kind of put a whole new perspective on life. It's football's important, but there's a lot more things in life that there's a lot more things in life that are more important, or you kind of look at as this at the end of the day, this is just a game. It's not life or death.
And I know you've gotten to work as far as on your technique and everything post-season is Brandon Jordan, the guy you got. So obviously, with him being in Seattle, I'm sure they have the inside track on you and know what you bring to the table. But what was it like getting to work with a guy like him as far as a pass rush specialist?
I mean, he's the real deal, man. You know, I was super happy for him when he got that job at Seattle. When I saw he got the job, I was kind of sad because I was going to go up there and go do some more after pro day, but he's obviously not going to do that anymore. But he's a real deal, man. He gave me a lot of insight on just kind of small things. You know, he works on a lot of small details, you know, just foot angles, you know, your lean and all those things. There's very little things that, you know, a lot of coaches don't really think about, or, you know, at OSU, you know, D-line coach has to deal with, you know, 20, 30 guys at practice. So he can't focus one-on-one on with you. So me and him, it was just me and him. And, you know, we really fine-tuned a lot of things, and it really helped out and, you know, taught me that, you know, it's all about one pass rush move. All you need is one good pass rush move. You don't have to have three or four in your inventory. I mean, you can be real good at one and have a counter off of it. You're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and that's what you took me right where I was going next as far as the pass rush move that you have. I know going into to training with him, you had one. What would that move be? And then in working with him, what were some counters that you were able to discover?
So my move towards the end of my career, you know, it was just a long arm, you know, speed mm-hmm. to power, mm-hmm. You know, kind of get that tackle off on his heels and move off of it. My last year at OSU was really difficult pass rushing because my foot, I know we already talked about that, but I mean, it was really hard to turn a corner. Couldn't put a whole lot of weight on it. And he kind of just showed me, I mean, we focused on it. I mean, we did a lot of long arm. He thinks that long arm's a good move. And, you know, we kind of worked on some outside moves off of it, you know, setups and kind of an inside pull move where, you know, you can long arm in the chest where they heel, and when they anchor down, you can pull them by, get the inside move. And those are all kind of in my inventory already. And, you know, we kind of, like I said, we just fine-tuned them and made it, just sharpened it up a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Brock Martin, Oklahoma State defensive end, linebacker. I like how you said that you fine-tuned the moves, and it happened to be perfect timing for you, you know, going into Hula Bowl and all of that. How did that experience, you know, how were you able to, you know, take what you learned with Brandon Jordan, put it into play in Hula Bowl week?
The Hula Bowl week was a little different for me. You know, we were playing in an under front. You know, I was in a lot of head up fives and four eyes and head up six. And, you know, at OSU, really, when I was at OSU for the majority of it, when Coach Knowles was at DC, I was in a lot of outside, you know, nines and fives. You know, I was never really covered up very often. And then kind of last year, I did a little bit more head up six and, you know, worked on, you know, being able to just smash down tight ends and stuff. So so the Hula Bowl was interesting. I don't think I really got to showcase my talent during the game or during practices. But, you know, one-on-ones, you know, it's nothing I did was very flashy. You know, the long arm's not a flashy move, but
it works.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, pass rushing, I don't believe that getting sacks is the, you know, you want to get sacks, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, pass rush, you want to get that quarterback off his spot, get his timing messed up, mm-hmm. you know, be around his feet, you know, make him uncomfortable, you know. I saw yesterday or 2 days ago, PFF posted career pressures for eligible defensive ends for this draft, and I was tied seventh with Will McDonald at Iowa State, and Will McDonald, I think, is one of the best edge rushers in this draft class. So,
yeah,
I didn't really realize that I was up there with those guys, but I've never really been a stat guy. I never really cared about stats, you know. The most important stats went in the win column. So, the Hula Bowl was fun. It was a good time, but I didn't really think I got to showcase my talent.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's confusing. You know, that's an opportunity for a guy like yourself to showcase what you have. So you would think that they will use you correctly. It's unfortunate, but you got to keep plugging away. I know you're training down there in Florida. Before I get you out of here, Derek Mason. Now, this we're here in Nashville. Mason was the head coach at Vanderbilt, so I got to get a little insight of the Derek Mason experience from your perspective.
Coach Mason was a great D coordinator. You know, he dealt with a lot of personal things kind of towards the end of it. That's kind of why he took the year off, but I'm not getting into that. But he was a great coach. He was a great dude. He did everything he could, you know, with the guys that we have. We had a lot of new guys in the back end, the whole new linebacker core. You know, we lost an All-American in Malcolm Rodriguez. And Devin Harper is, in my opinion, was one of the most underrated linebackers in the country last year. You know, I would say he single-handedly won us the OU game that year on some just crazy hustle plays that he was on the ground twice, and I remember one play, it was fourth and six, whatever, and dude hit the ground twice, and Caleb Williams, you know, the scrambling quarterback that he is, he got up, chased him down, tackled him 2 yards before he got to the first down, and it was just one of those games. But Coach Mason was – he did everything he could with what he had, man. It was – wasn't our best year, obviously, as a defense, but, you know, when Coach Noble first came to Oklahoma State, we were giving up 39 points a game his first season, and obviously that got better as the years went on. And when Coach Mason first got to his one and only season at OSU, I think we're only giving up 31 points a game. So, I mean, I think if he would have stayed and had more time at Oklahoma State, he could have been great.
There you have it right there. Brock Martin, Oklahoma State defensive end / linebacker. I appreciate you coming on. Definitely wish you the best as you go through the rest of this process.
I appreciate you, TD. Thanks for having me on here.
For sure.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Oh, here they come, here they come.
There you.
Strings.
There you.
The music fades. The lights dim. And now, coming to you live from Madison Square Garden at small forward for your New York Knicks out of Tennessee, number 30, Bernard King.
Oh, man. And now, starring in the Jeffersons as the son, Lionel Jefferson. What's up?
Yeah.
What's up, big dog, man? You good, man? Why you call me that dude, man? You look like that dude, man.
I almost called you Stacey Ogman. No, I was going to take you back to the Omni.
Hey, but it ain't worse than Tyrone Hill, though. If you call me Tyrone Hill, I'm hanging up, though. I ain't never coming on the show again.
Yo, they be cracking up on the pregame show, man. Tyrone Hill and Sam Cassell talk. Jared just be chuckling, man.
Sam Cassell.
Yeah, because you know you call me Sam Cassell. But then you know what I call Jared, right?
Oh, John Candy. Man, what is going on with you, man? We is almost to the dog on draft. What
That's
the heck
right.
is going on, boss?
Hey, it's all kinds of rumors abounding and moving up
crazy.
And doing this and doing that. It seems like this Titans team is a magnet for rumors. It's crazy.
Let me ask you this question, man, and because I want to put this to rest. Are the Titans going to jump up to the number 3 spot and take Arizona, because Arizona don't need a quarterback, and jump up and get Richardson or one of those guys that's available? Do you think that's going to happen? Please tell me.
I think it's unlikely.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So here's the thing. But, you know, Rand Carthon was a part of a staff that moved heaven and earth to go up and get Trey Lance.
See,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, see?
So
They've invested. He's been a part of a group that invested in a guy that was pretty much mostly potential. And that's what you're getting in Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. But I think also when you look at the big picture, they were able to do that. Why? Because they built a strong foundation, a strong team. So he understands, in my opinion, I think he understands that there's more to building this team than just adding a quarterback.
Yeah, but, you know, because everybody's trying to make it a speculation because the GM, you know, Monty Ossenfart, because he was with the Titans in the front office, that, you know, they're kind of working something behind the scenes. I mean, they're just guessing. And the reason why I asked you that question is because I want to put it to rest, like, now, so people don't get scared and be like, oh, Derrick Henry's going to get traded, or, you know, Byers going to get traded, or they're not going to sign Jeffrey Simmons because they're trying to jump up and get it. I just want to put that debate right now.
Yeah, I don't think any of that's happened, to be honest with you. And it's funny, I actually – at the combine, I asked Monty Ossenfort about that pick. You know, I'm like, hey, are you guys willing to move off of that? Are you interested? And that's when he said, that's when he first said, man, the phones are there. Business is open. You know, that's when he first said it. So
I
think they stay put, right?
Now,
here's the thing. If they stay put at 11, they put themselves in position to where you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that.
Absolutely.
Jalen Carter's there. Hey, you could grab him.
If
Paris Johnson is there, you could grab him.
Yeah.
But also, if the Raiders at 7 and the Eagles at 10 don't pick cornerbacks, you're going to be sitting there with Christian Gonzalez
from Oregon
staring right at your face. You're going to be sitting there with Devin Witherspoon.
Illinois beast.
Staring right at your face. So those are going to be some tough decisions, man.
Yeah, but then there's other cats that's really good. I like Joey Porter from Penn State. I mean, he's got a little nastiness to him. And you got Kilo Ringo. He kind of disappointed me a little bit. But I think he's still got some physical tools. He's 6'2", 215. But there's some guys that you're going to be staring at. And there's going to be some guys you can be staring at that you can be able to pick. Because if you look at last year with the Titans, you had Farley McCreary, Fulton, and now you just signed Sean Murphy Bunning. You still can find a guy that can be a shutdown corner. Because if you look at last year, they were 32nd ranked in stopping the pass. Come on, man. We got to get a corner that can lock somebody down.
Yeah, absolutely. Need corners that can lock people down. So let me ask you.
Sure.
If you have your pick of the group, who do you take first?
You know, I like Devin Witherspoon from Illinois. Man. You know, and the one thing I love about him is his hips. He's got great hips. He's got great instincts. And here's another thing I love about him. He's tough. I mean, he's not. He may not be big like the other corners. He's 6 foot, 180 something pounds, but he's got a nastiness about him. So he's got a nastiness to where if you catching the ball, I'm running through your lips. That's just what it is. But also, he's not just a corner that just tackles.
Preach.
He can cover. He can cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can cover. I mean, look at this. He allowed only 22 catches on 206 attempts.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean.
What?
You look,
he's
the real deal, man. And it's funny. It's like he has a thirst for contact. Like, he will not hesitate to come up and help in that running game, you know, in that run defense. And then you run a screen at him and let him diagnose it and read it, he's going to blow through the block and try to kill the receiver. You know, so he is, and he's fun to watch.
I always
laugh when I think about watching his film. Because at the end of every play, you see him making that, like, signal. He's either doing the Mutombo or he's, like, doing what the DBs always do, like, when they put their hand, like, they do, like, the refs do, incomplete.
Yeah, I love
always
it.
Do that. And that just always kills me about DBs. As a matter of fact, to get off topic a little bit, at the combine, on one of the nights, just out and about, I ran into D. Hall, D'Angelo Hall. We were talking, and I was like,
"Oh, he talks so much trash."
That's why I asked him this.
I
said, "Man, y'all DBs crack me up." I said, "How come every time, even if the ball is 30 yards overthrown, you get up and talk about, or the receiver will run by you, be wide open, and drop the ball? You will be burned, and you talk about No. He was cracking up at it, but it's the truth, man. So whenever you're talking DBs, you gotta mention that.
Yes.
But yeah, Weatherspoon, he reminds me a lot of Jair Alexander. Just how smooth he is, but yet how small and feisty he is. Those are guys that you sticky. That's the word to describe them. Go ahead.
No, and you know who he reminds me of, who I used to play with the Tennessee Titans, was Darrell Lewis.
Ooh.
I don't know if you remember. Darrell Lewis was feisty, he was physical, and he was smart at the line of scrimmage. And I think Devin's that same way. I'm not saying he's that caliber player yet, but he can become like a Darrell Lewis. I'm going to tell you, Darrell Lewis was smart. You know, he understood, you know, the route combination of what they were doing, and he was physical, man. But they're not big in stature, but he's one of those guys that you feel on the field, man.
Yeah.
Those are the cats that you'd be like, who is this dude? You just know that he's there because he's consistently around the ball, and he wants to run through somebody's lips.
So we go from one extreme to the other, right? Mm-hmm. The guy that, you know, if God was going to build a cornerback, he would build Christian Gonzalez.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Because we're talking about a guy who's tall, fast, fluent, tremendous ball skills. You think you have Witherspoon over him?
No.
Okay.
and I'm going to tell you why. Because, and I say this word, he's graceful.
Yeah.
When I say graceful, it's just that he just does things with ease. He's smooth, kind of what you're talking about. He had 4 interceptions last year. And here's what I love about him. He does everything, and it seems so effortless. I mean, that's something that you can't teach. Yeah, you can teach him the right, you know, technique. Yes, you can teach him all these things, but you can't teach gracefulness, and you can't teach, you know, effortless. It's just in you. And I love this guy. I love him from Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's someone, so for me, like, in watching, the thing I like is how long he is.
He's long.
But yet how sudden he is getting out of his pedal.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
To me, he's everything that Caleb Farley, healthy, could have been. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
That's how I look at that. But there's so many DBs in here. You mentioned Kelly Ringo. You mentioned Joey Porter Jr. If you look at the Titans themselves, right, you look at this group, Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, Trey Avery. Did you know Trey Avery is older than all the other corners? Yeah, he's in year 2, but he's 26.
Dang, he's been in for like 17 years.
No, he was there at Rutgers for a bit. And then, year 2, 26 years. But so you got Trey Avery. Mm-hmm. You got Sean Murphy Bunning that they signed. Elijah Molden. Chris Jackson. So you look at this group, what kind of DB do you think is needed? What kind of corner do you think is needed to?
You need a cover corner, you know, and I say that respectfully to the other guys, but McCreary, the only thing that's the disadvantage with him is his size. You know, he's not a big guy. So, you know, if you look at last year when they played against the Cincinnati Bengals, what did they do? They saw man-on-man with the receiver. He jumped up and caught the ball. So that's what you're going to run into. But when you're talking about Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, 6'2", 201, he's a big guy that can catch the ball at the highest point. And we talked about being graceful and smooth. That's a guy that can do that. So, you know, I think with those other guys, and I say this respectfully to the guys in that DB room, they're just good players. But you need a great player to shut some of these great wide receivers down.
And it's unfortunate because that's what they thought Caleb Farley was going to be. And I mean, the book is still not closed on him, but it's interesting. What about like some guys later in the draft?
Yeah.
So I'll give you one. I like Riley Moss out of Iowa.
Okay.
And he is someone, I don't know if you got to watch him, but He hit 19 miles an hour at the Senior Bowl.
Uh-huh.
He ran well at the combine, but if you watch him, he's really impressed. The ball skills are there, but he's a guy that could play nickel as well as on the outside. But he has that. He gives you that nickel that could turn and run with these fast receivers.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Titans need. They do. One of those, because Elijah Molden is darn good at nickel. I think he's a very solid nickel. You could use him to rush. You could use him in coverage. But it's just when you start getting that vertical route, that's where you have to account for that with the safeties, with Byron and Hooker.
Absolutely. There's two guys that I really like in this draft also. that we haven't talked about, like Cam Smith from South Carolina, ball skills, ball skills, straight up ball skills. I mean, he had 6 interceptions and on 94 targets. So, you know, we need a ball hawk. We got to have a ball hawk. And the only ball hawk that's in that secondary is Byard. He's only ball hawk. And Amani Hooker. Amani Hooker's a pretty good ball hawk, but you need a DB that can play the slot and say, okay, I got this guy. I'm going against this guy. And then there's another guy, Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State.
Man, listen. Mr. Pick Six.
Boy, you almost jumped out your seat, man.
That joker right there.
Yes. Man, yes, he is.
He's special. Whew. Skinny as all get out. But he finds that ball. It's like lanky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is. I'm sure. What was that DB that I went against? I beat him in the long route when I played with the Tennessee Titans. Oh, he went to UT, and then he went to Kansas City, then he went to New Orleans Saints. Oh, I can't remember his name, but he reminds me of him.
Dale Carter.
Thank you. Yeah. Dale Carter.
He was one of my favorite corners.
I tell you, that dude was mean. And I had to change. Like, what I did is, I ain't trying to get off subject, but when I went against him, he's very smart. So what he did, he's wait till you do all that stuff at the line of scrimmage and move your feet, and then the last minute he tries to jam because he had long arms. Mm. But what I had to do is I just had to go instead of making a move. And when you're talking about Emmanuel Forbes, he's got those long arms.
Yeah.
He's got those long arms.
I'm glad you mentioned him because he's not talked about at all.
But then I tell you one thing, them scouts know that cat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he ran well at the combine, too. So that's the thing that you're seeing with the way football is going now. There's so many wide receivers, of course, so many quarterbacks. And these guys are talented, man. And they're used to being out there on that island in covers, you know, and operating and it's a fun game to watch because of these guys that you're able to see.
Okay, I got to bring up one more name before we go. I forgot to say it. Eli Ricks from Alabama. Don't forget about him.
Yeah.
6'2", 190 now. Don't forget it because Alabama always produces good corners now.
Yeah, they do. Well,
we can't forget about that cat either.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. And you know he's going to be, you know, technically sound, you know, being coached by Nick Saban, who, I mean, he loves coaching the DBs. So that's another one, man. There's a lot of guys. And you mentioned Kelly Ringo, and I know, you know, you like the speed aspect. That joker in the game, he hit 23 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, that's stupid, man.
But the only thing that kind of concerned me is when he tried to catch the ball.
Yeah.
He was trying to catch it with his elbows.
Yeah,
like,
that's a little.
That's the only thing, man. What technique-wise, flawless. But when he tried to catch the ball, I'm like,
There you have it right there. So we had to run through those DBs real quick, man. I'm glad we got to talk corner.
Yes, sir.
We'll keep this thing going. We're getting closer and closer to the draft, man, inside of 3 weeks now. So it's going to be here before you know it.
Who you think? If you were Rand Carthon, who you running to get? Who you running up to the podium and getting?
Ooh,
I put on a hot seat now.
I mean, look, it's –
one pick, you have to make it.
I'll say Paris Johnson. I think that's the safest pick. You know, I almost said Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Nah, I was just about to say
that. Almost said it. But I figured you had HBCU bias. Ohio State.
Ohio State, sir. Hey, man, I was watching this musical. And this guy came on, and me and my daughter was like, you know, give me a listen to the song. And Seal walked out, the singer. And she's like, you do the radio station with TD? I'm like, yeah. She's like, is that him right there? I was like, no, baby, that's TD. That's Seal.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD.
Yeah, you hear that music. I'll say this. My next guest, you may not have seen him before, but once you watch him, you'll appreciate his game. We dig deep, man. We're going to go down to FAMU, bring in wide receiver, first team All-American HBCU wide receiver. We'll say it that way, Xavier Smith. Xavier, what's good, man?
What's good, man?
I'm chilling, man. I always, you know, like talking shop with the receivers. And, you know, watching your game, there's a lot to like. I guess let's start with this because your career is one that almost didn't even happen. So the Xavier Smith story. Tell me about that from, I'll say, junior year in high school up to your first year at FAM. Like, how did you end up at FAM?
So my junior year and senior year of high school, you know, I was making plays. I was doing some of the same things that I'm doing now on the field. But, you know, I didn't have any offers, so I decided that I was going to get a job so I could make some money. And I didn't have any college offers, so I ended up getting a job working at Amazon just to make some money, because at that time, the dream of really playing football or going to college and going to the NFL, that dream was really over. So, you know, I ended up working at Amazon, and after talking it over with my mom and a few friends, I decided to walk on to FAMU. So my mom, she went to FAMU, and at that time, my brother, he was playing at FAMU as well. So it just seemed like the perfect fit for me, and I wanted to be a part of that legacy.
Now, here you were, a 5'9", 155-pound running back coming out of high school.
Right.
And then you end up at FAMU. How did you end up going from a small running back to a receiver?
So when I got the FAM, the coach, he was telling me that I was probably going to be too small to play running back. I wouldn't be able to take the hits and things of that nature. And I told him I could do it, but he just insisted that, you know, I tried for wide receiver and I tried different positions. So just being the athlete that I am, I knew I could do it. I just knew it would take a little time and adjustment in order for me to, you know, kind of figure out how to be a receiver full time.
And you had the right approach. I mean, we're talking to Xavier Smith, FAMU wide receiver. Xavier, you had the right approach in that you used that first year, that redshirt year, as an opportunity to just improve yourself. And then you did that.
Right.
You come out 2018, and your first game, 30-yard touchdown, I think it was. Tell me about that.
Just getting that chance to play after being a red shirt just gave me that time to develop, because as I was on the scout team, I was going against the first team defense every week, and I was having a lot of success. So I knew once my time came, I was going to be ready and just waiting for that opportunity. So when Coach Simmons, they put me in the game and they gave me that opportunity. And like you said, I caught my first touchdown, and from there, the rest was history.
And you look at the following year, really, really good year, 77 receptions, 1,159 yards, 11 touchdowns. Was there a point during that year where you said, like, whoa, wait a minute, I could possibly have the talent to do this on Sundays?
I mean, for me, that honestly started a lot before that year even came. I always felt like I had the talent. So I would say, you know, ever since I was 4 years old when I started football, my eyes was always on the NFL. But during that year, that just was kind of, for me, it was that confirmation after the Southern game. I had 9 catches, 201 yards in the game, won a touchdown. And I feel as though that game was like the confirmation game and the stamp that was like, you know, I'm here and I belong here.
Absolutely. Now, when you – so you walked on at FAM. At what point did you go from a walk-on to a scholarship player?
My red shirt sophomore season. So – after my red shirt, because coach, he was telling me, you know, okay, we see you performing at practice. We see you performing in the scrimmages. So they ended up boosting me to a partial scholarship.
Okay.
But he was telling me I wasn't able to get a full scholarship because they haven't seen what I could do in game time situations. So I just had to keep working. And after my red shirt freshman season, I had 700 yards. So Coach already felt as though, you know, I could play at that level. So they ended up giving me a full ride scholarship.
That's what's up. And you got the Dell State game. That one, you know, was a big one. You set the record for most touchdowns in a single game. 4
right.
Touchdowns. Joey Galloway gives you the helmet sticker What are you thinking there? Was that kind of like a moment where you're like, yeah, man, I've arrived?
That game was a big game, but I was a little disappointed with that game just because, you know, I had four touchdowns. It could have been five or six if I didn't drop a few touchdown passes. So at that time, I was a little still in my head, but just the fact that he did that and just knowing Joey Galloway, who was a great NFL receiver, so just gaining that recognition for him and also breaking the record at the same token was definitely a blessing. And like you said, it was just like, okay, I'm putting my stamp on my career and on my legacy, but you know, I still want to do things bigger and better.
And we're talking to Xavier Smith, FAMU wide receiver, first team HBCU All-American. Xavier, you talk about, right, Joey Galloway putting his stamp on you, but I don't think anybody has put their stamp on you as much as Steve Smith Sr. has. So Take me through that moment, like when you first saw him breaking your game down and just saying what you bring to the table.
Yeah, my coach JB, my wide receiver coach from college, he had sent it to me. And he was like, this is someone who's really been watching the film. And I was just hearing some of the things he was saying. And at first, it kind of didn't feel real. It was kind of like, nah, Steve Smith, he ain't talking about me. He haven't heard about me yet. So, you know, it was like a surreal moment when I actually got to watch it. And I was hearing, you know, he putting me on the TV screen. That's me making those plays that he's showing. So it meant the world to me. And then just having that opportunity to have a sit down and talk with him about real life situations and also, you know, the game of the NFL. So for me, that meant the most. And I definitely appreciate everything he's done for me up to this point.
Yeah, for sure. And if you guys want to see what we're talking about here, you could just go search Cut To It Podcast. It's a great show that Steve Smith has. And then you could just search Steve Smith Sr. / Xavier Smith, and you'll see the actual breakdown there. Before they do that, Xavier, I want you to go ahead and break your game down in your own words, what it is that you bring to the table.
Can you say that one more time?
I said, I want you to break down what it is you bring to the table, your own game. Explain your – we got to hear Steve Smith's, but I want to hear your explanation.
For me, just the versatility. So I could play all over the field. You could put me at the X, the Y, the Z receiver. You could put me in the backfield. Just giving me jet sweeps, giving me bubbles in the rounds, anything to just put the ball in my hands, and I definitely make a play. So just using my speed, running by guys on a consistent basis, I got the route running ability. I can run every route on the route tree. I get in and out of my breaks fluent, and, you know, I understand the game. I understand how to get open and, you know, make plays for not only me, but getting guys open on my team as well. So I understand the game. I can play at a high level, and I feel as though I also got special teams. I got the kick return ability. I could take it to the house. I got the punt return ability to take it to the house. So just being on that field, being in all type of predicaments, I could play anywhere on the field, and I could do it at a high level.
I'm glad you mentioned the return part, because I thought you weren't, and I was going to put that in there. We can't shortchange what you bring to the table. A lot of this really came to light, right, at the HBCU Combine. And that's when I first met you. I had watched you before, but I went into that combine like you were. I said, "This is I want to make sure I focus on him, because you were one of the guys that I had watched leading up to that point." That whole experience for you at that combine, and then the week of that Legacy Bowl, what was that like for you?
It was a great experience, because that was my first chance to really get to show what I could do on the national stage.
Right.
And I feel as though coming at a HBCU, we don't get the satisfactory to play on ESPN every game or CBS and those type of networks. So for me, it was just that first time where you know, I knew what I could do, and everybody who's been on my team and everyone who's been watching me play since the beginning, they knew what I could do. But, you know, that was my first time to get a chance to show the world what I could do and show a lot of people who haven't got that luxury to see me play. So it was definitely a great experience just getting a chance to bond with guys that I competed against on a consistent basis and, you know, creating relationships and friendships that'll last me a lifetime. So for me, it was everything that I could have imagined. It honestly exceeded all my expectations.
That's dope. And I tell you what, during the combine, I was standing next to the scouts. Well, you crossed that line and they hit their watch and they looked at it, the smiles on their faces, and they turned and they showed. It said 4.38 and 4.39. A couple of them had. So you definitely showed what you bring to the table. Let's fast forward to the pro day. And before we do that, also, we will mention offensive MVP of the Legacy Bowl. That route you ran, I told you, that was a really good route. You were able to sell that and really turn that DB around. So good stuff there. Pro day, how did that go for you? I know you ran a similar time to what you did at the combine as well.
Mm-hmm. So for pro day, it was the same. The same atmosphere for me as it was in the combine, honestly, just, you know, sticking to the basics and, you know, doing what I was taught to do. So from the time I started training at the Trench Academy, just taking everything that I've learned all the way up until that point to pro day and got a chance to show it again, to show that, you know, I can do these things on a consistent basis. It wasn't a one-time thing. Anytime I got to show that I could prove myself, these are going to be my results. So, you know, when it was time to run routes, I felt fluid. I felt like I was getting in and out of my brace quickly and just running them smooth, not stumbling, not tripping, just getting in and out of my brace, running with speed and using my hands on each and every catch, you know, because I trust my hands and I trust my ability to catch the ball anytime it's thrown my way. So for me, that was definitely a good experience, and I got a chance to show the consistency of what I bring to the table.
And you had your gloves with you this time, right?
Right.
Before I get you out of here, two things I want to touch on, you know, your relationship with your mother and how much that lesson of patience has really paid off for you.
Just with my mom, man, we had to have patience because we growing up, we didn't get a chance to get everything that we wanted. We had to wait, and some of those things that we wanted, we still wasn't able to get to this day. So just understanding anything that you want in life, you got to work for it. And sometimes you can work as hard as you want, and it still may not happen. So just understanding, you know, what it takes to be successful and how hard you actually got to work and the amount of work you got to put in order for anything to come to fruition in life. And just watching my mom be that person who each and every day, even though we were struggling, even though things was hard and times was rough, you know, she never quit. She never gave up. She woke up every day trying to provide for us. So me, my brothers, and my two sisters. So just seeing that every day, that's what created the person I am today, knowing what I got to do in order to make it for my family.
And last thing, Miss Rashida, out of Liberty Sports, man, she's a big advocate of yours. I know that's right. Your agent, so she's supposed to do that, but she goes super hard for you. What's that relationship? What has she, you know, helped set you up to be able to do?
Just putting me in those positions and putting me in front of the scouts. So just having those scouts look at me, and then, you know, the rest is on me. She's done her job. Now it's on me to hold up my end of the bargain, and that's performed. So for her, just going hard, making sure, you know, I'm in that spot to where I can show scouts what I can do. But then also just being extremely supportive outside of the business world, just making sure my mental is great, checking up on me every once in a while, and just being that person who who I could call on anytime I need a situation or anytime I need to get something done. I could pick up the phone and call, and I know I would get an answer. I don't have to wait 2 or 3 days or a week for a response. I know if I call today, she'll answer when I call.
There you have it right there. Xavier Smith, Florida A&M, wide receiver, first team HBCU All-American. We're going to keep mentioning that. Xavier, I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
Sure. So that was Xavier Smith talking shop. He's real cool on the conversation side of things, but you see him on the field, it's a whole different story. It's fun watching him. He's one of the guys I really like to watch. So shout out to Xavier Smith, FAMU coming on. Definitely give a shout out to Brock Martin out of Oklahoma State, Isaiah Moore from NC State. Man, we keep this thing rolling. And of course, we shout out forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Got my guy David James as well.
Yes, sir.
We keep this thing rolling, man. Most importantly, I want to give a shout out to each of you for rocking with us, man. 100+, 200+ shows. We've had this thing rolling and rolling and rolling. So shout out to each of you. Make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.